Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Kind of casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, Check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast contains mature content, explicit language, suggestive situations, and partial to full frontal nudity. Listener discretion is advised. Don't let your kids listen to this.
220 years, man. God damn.
Too many years.
That is a lot.
221.
I'm talking about something else.
Oh, shit. Yeah. 220 years for the Jaguars guy, 220 years of Cinephobe. Look at that.
What?
That's a fucking bizarre synergy right there. All he has to do is listen to every episode of our podcast that he's... He's paid penance.
One episode a year, yeah.
100 years, Morty. 100 years.
Is there a better name than Powers Booth?
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Doesn't even feel 20th century, though.
No, you're right.
It's actually more of an old school name than, what was he, Curly Bill in Tombstone?
Yeah.
Powers Booth is actually a more Western name.
Yeah, he should have just been called Powers Booth in Tombstone.
Not Curly Bill, yeah.
That man is a meme forever.
Well. Bye.
Oh, that's him.
That's him, yeah.
Wow. That's acting. Oh, that's acting right there.
Yo, he's a good actor, man.
He's fantastic.
I'm trying not to give away my selections and my overall ranking of the film early.
Wow, such discipline from you, Roy. Notorious for coming in and spilling the beans within 5 seconds of an episode.
Yeah, well, I care about you, Maze.
Kool-Aid Man's into this episode, throws out his selections, is like, all right, let's do the movie.
I'm not going to do it this time, even though I should, because you already know my answers.
I'm not going to do...
What you think I'm going to do?
What everyone thinks.
But just flip out.
That's the point. That's the point of the show, isn't it? Isn't it? It's possible. I don't understand what this podcast is about.
Poppycock.
The fuck house.
On a weekly basis, we are consuming more concentrated bad movies than probably anybody in the history of mankind.
Poppycock.
What story? What are you talking about?
Do you want lunch?
I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm there holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast. We break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love. I'm Zach Harper. That's Amin Al-Hassan. That's Anthony Mays. Make sure you listen to us on Spotify.
Spotify is where you can vote in a poll, like the poll for the CT5 Memo Moreno's people you'd be cool with smashing your girl.
There's no way I won this.
Amin and I tied with 19 votes each, 40.4%. Zach, 9 votes, 19.1%. I wonder why that was. I wonder what it is about.
Because Hank Azaria should have been number one, Maze. That's why. Hank Azaria.
I had Ed.
Oh, you're with Ed.
Amin had a fucking tiger or a lion or whatever it is.
Wiggy said, if Zach can have Ed number one, parentheses, respectfully.
Thank you.
Then how did y'all didn't have Michael from Tammy and the T-Rex with the tiny arms or the ending scene is a better question. So he's talking about when Paul Walker becomes dumb old T-Rex.
The ending scene made me very uncomfortable. You know how uncomfortable something has to be for me to not be excited about Denise Richards dancing around in lingerie? That's how uncomfortable that final scene was.
Wow.
Dat Not Lit said, I'm shocked that none of you had Barry Badernath, Pam Anderson, and Barb Wire, Howard the Duck, or Steve James. And Michael Gom 3 said, when Amin was building up to his final pick, I fully expected him to say the nameless man that fucked Keanu's wife's brains out for the fellas.
Oh, wow.
Why would I want that?
Why would you, Dad?
No, that's a good point because you've got to be cool with this person banging your wife. And that's a dangerous situation.
Yeah. I don't want to die.
That's very dangerous.
The one thing I do regret about that episode is that somehow we got caught into Maze emphasize that it's got to be someone who isn't going to steal her from us forever. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing about Memo Moreno was...
He did get her.
He did get her. But also, he offered to dump her and to marry Stallone instead.
Because he's the most charming.
That should have been my response when I said Apollo Creed. And Maze was worried that Apollo Creed would just sweep his woman off her feet and never bring her back.
That's a great point.
I mean, I am so incredulous that you would think that I affected your list. You are sloughing the blame onto me, and I reject that.
But with that detail that Amin has just thrown in there, doesn't my pick of Ed seem a lot more understandable?
No.
Jinx.
No.
If Ed's like, I'll dump her, let's hang out, come on.
No.
Release the Kraken.
All right. Yeah.
What?
Agree to disagree. Make sure. You're checking out the CT5s on the feed. Leave your CT5 suggestion. Leave your CT5 list. Make sure you sign up for the Patreon. Patreon.com/countthedings. You get access to ad-free episodes. Episodes are early. You get access to the Discord. You get access to the entire cold open. You get the extra segments for the OG shows, for Bomb, for everything. We get the mailbag. We got everything on the network through that Patreon, plus the Rewatchington events, the live ones, the old ones, the future ones. All at patreon.com/countthedings.
Also, check out the Count the Dings merch store on Cotton Bureau.
Yeah.
You can find it at Count the Dings on Twitter or at CinephoPod on Instagram. I've got the links up there. We've got brand new, exciting, limited edition merch. We're trying to do it every month. A big shout out to Mark Ordner, who does all of our episode art. He's also doing all of the merch designs. Right now, it is the Amin El Hassan viral decontextualization hoodie in orange. And coming soon for Cinephobiacs, Babadooks, and Bingos everywhere, we have an exciting new design. What's that design, Maze? It's the Cobra Formula design. So you can go to bit.ly/allcapsctdmerch, or you can click the link. It's in the description below the podcast. Check it out.
Give submission, submit it. Reminder, needs to be 40% or lower on the Rotten Tomatoes audience or critic score. All right, recently, I pushed us off a windy roof in Judgment Night. Maze treated us like cows in a zoo and mooed at us.
Moo!
Moo!
In Fool's Paradise.
Moo!
Amin blew us off the plate with a 112 mile per hour fastball that is the Scout. Now it's my turn again, and I'm turning us to the 1995 action crime thriller Sudden Death, and we could not do Sudden Death without the one and only Roy Bellamy, Meadowlark Media, the number one hockey guy we know. Roy, thank you for rejoining us. A repeat offender.
Foul.
I'm sorry I did it. I can't believe it. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He couldn't hold himself. He was going to show some self-restraint.
I tried.
You know what, Roy? I will not let you sit on this ice alone. File.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Welcome.
Sweep it, boys.
Roy's sixth time on the podcast.
Six.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
What does that tie in with?
Monument Valley.
Golden Gate Bridge.
Joel Silver.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Frank Welker.
Wesley Snipes.
Jennifer Garner.
Great company you got there, Roy.
I'm proud to be associated with a couple of pretty good landmarks there with the bridge and the monument. That is great. Oh, and Larry Fishburne as well.
Maze, what did you have for Sudden Death? Action crime thriller was IMDb.
Yeah, I had action thriller. I think it's kind of interesting that neither of us had sports. I guess it's sports adjacent, but the whole movie is at a sports game.
Well, get ready for the reviews because there's a lot of comparisons to Die Hard, but is this a hockey movie as much as Die Hard is a Christmas movie? Or is it a hockey movie and Die Hard is a Christmas movie? Because I would say it's both.
That is a good question. I mean, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
100%.
And there's hockey in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a puck.
Mm-hmm.
Some sticks.
Chris Chelios.
There's a lot of hockey.
There's better sports in this movie than the last five sports movies we've done, besides Blue Chips, right?
There's definitely more sports than the Scout had.
Not MVP or Ed.
It's better than The Scout. It's better than Balls of Fury. It's better than D2 The Mighty Ducks. It's better than Driven.
Well, hold on now. Wait a second.
It's better than Ed.
Oh, come on, man.
Not Ed. What are you talking about?
It's better sports action than Ed.
Tommy Lasorda.
Come on.
Do you not see the flips he was doing? Catching those line drives?
Yeah, was he Ozzie Smith?
Yeah, exactly.
Ozzie Smith struck out to lose the World Series game one in the scout.
You get Ozzie Smith in a movie and you don't even have him make a defensive play.
Yeah.
You have him as the power hitter at the end of the movie. Bad writing.
He's batting ninth though, Roy.
I mean, it makes sense that he's batting ninth. It makes zero sense that he's a power hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he did hit that one home run in the NLCS for him to go to World Series back in the 80s, but
it was 1985.
Yeah, it was 85.
It was 1985.
But they have him in 1995 as the nine hole hitter up to try to hit a home run. No. No, sorry.
Sudden Death stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, Powers Booth, and Raymond J. Barry. JCVD, six-time repeat offender with Double Impact, Last Action Hero, Time Cop, Bloodsport, and Universal Soldier.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Are we halfway through his catalog, or is there...
Dude, no, not even close.
Three times more?
There's three times more. Easily.
Oh, wow. Including that new movie that he's in.
Oh, file. I'm in.
Does it qualify?
All right, that's the earliest file instead of Phobos History.
I don't think it's out yet.
It's qualified before you even got released.
He had Time Cop and Street Fighter in 94, this movie in 95, Maximum Risk and Amin, The Quest in 96, where he plays Eddie Thief, Chris Dubois.
Mike Fuentes has punched his ticket on the last rewatchington for Can't Hardly Wait.
Powers is from Tombstone, U-Turn, and MacGruber.
MacGruber.
Deadwood, Sin City.
Raymond is in Nothing But Trouble, Falling Down, Cool Runnings, and Walk Hard.
Nothing But Trouble is definitely cinephobe eligible. Dan Aykroyd.
Is Tupac in?
Yes.
Nothing But Trouble?
Digital Underground is in that one.
That's right, yeah.
Oh my God, I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unhinged.
It qualifies?
Absolutely qualifies. It's unhinged.
There's no way. It's too good.
It's too good?
Put me down for a file for Nothing But Trouble.
Those two things together doesn't mean that it's not a cinephobe movie at all.
Not mutually exclusive. Yeah.
15%.
What?
15%.
1.5?
Yes.
But Zach thinks it's too good.
Well, you thought it was 50?
At least.
No.
I thought it was 250s on top of each other. 100.
No.
This little shit Ross Malinger from Kindergarten Cop, Sleepless in Seattle and Bye Bye Love, Dorian Harewood from Full Metal Jacket, Glitter, and repeat offender, the longest gap in repeat offenders in cinephobe history, because it goes all the way back to Kangaroo Jack 2.
Wow.
Take that, Julianne Moore.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
You can't get deeper than that.
I remember Full Metal Jacket and Dorian Harewood. He got lit up by that sniper.
Lit up.
One by one, bullet by bullet.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom. He got shot in the ass. It was in trouble.
Tate McNeil from Glitter. Michael Gaston, repeat offender from Spencer Confidential. Joffrey C. Brown, repeat offender for Universal Soldier.
Joffrey.
Where's Joffrey?
Jeff Haberstad.
Jeff Haberstroh.
Not Haberstroh. Repeat offender for Smokin' Aces. Tom Lafitte. Repeat offender for I Am Wrath.
Lafitte, don't fail me now.
Faith Minton, repeat offender for Last Action Hero. And then I've got Manny Perry, repeat offender for Predator 2 and Loaded Weapon 1. And then Luke Robitaille, repeat offender, D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Quack-a-tack is back, Jack!
Luke Robitaille was a penguin for one season. That one season was long enough for him to make a movie.
That's all you needed.
He scored the greatest goal in franchise history.
And that one season, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, so I think he deserves all the flowers.
The fictional Stanley Cup Finals.
Also, we get a lot of mentions of Jaromir Jagr, but never a shot of him.
Trivia about that as well.
And Mario Lemieux wasn't there because he had Hodgkin's, so there's that too.
I guess a good excuse.
Way to bring it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm bringing facts to the table here.
I know, but they're uncomfortable facts.
You're also bringing files to the table.
Bob Hodgkins.
No, come on, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, he got over it and he came back to the Penguins and scored some more goals.
In the show, didn't he have good Hodgkins?
Well, he had Hodgkins that he survived. I mean, I don't know if it was good. He survived it, so that was good.
But isn't there a good Hodgkins and a bad Hodgkins?
No, there's Hodgkins and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and Hodgkin's disease has a better survival rate.
Okay, so that's a better Hodgkin's.
I mean, that's a valid point, but...
Okay, so...
But I wouldn't say it was good.
It's better.
Maybe it's better.
Okay.
But not good.
Better.
Sudden Death, directed by Peter Hyams. Repeat offender for directing Time Cop.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
He also directed The Presidio, End of Days, and Stay Tuned.
Ooh.
Two writing credits for this movie. Karen Elise Baldwin, story credit. wrote Eyewitness Murder and Repeat Offender for producing Hurricane Heist.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Fascinating trivia about her. She also produced Ray and Sahara.
So nothing but hits.
Ooh.
And then Gene Quintano, screenplay credit, wrote Police Academy 3, 4, and 5 and
Future Cinephobes.
Repeat Offender.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
For Loaded Weapon 1. Are we just going to do a Police Academy month?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm here for it.
Especially the one in Miami.
Gene Quintano also wrote Operation Dumbo Drop.
Synopsis for Sudden Death. A former fireman takes on a group of terrorists holding the vice president and others hostage during the 7th game of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, I must have missed that. They never mentioned it.
They're not terrorists. They're professionals.
Mm-hmm. I'm a professional.
Professional terrorist.
Tagline, tonight, 17,000 hockey fans have been taken hostage, but just one of them knows it.
And that's not accurate at all.
Everybody in that box knew it, yeah. At least 10 people knew.
Yeah.
We have 5 other taglines.
Oh, of course we do.
Terror goes into overtime.
That's good.
I like it.
Professionals go into overtime.
Action goes into overtime.
No.
Not as good.
They said Game 7 would be a war. They didn't know the half of it.
Oh, okay. Now we're back.
Yeah. That's the only instance of somebody saying the words verbatim, Game 7.
Yeah.
Every time else, it was 7th game.
Oh, that's true. They did say 7th game.
This Christmas, action goes into overtime. This was a Christmas movie? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was. I remember.
That's really punching the Die Hard ripoff home.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Christmas, too.
It's also a Christmas movie.
And then some games you can't afford to lose.
That one's really good.
That's nice. I like that.
I like Terror Goes Into Overtime. I like they said Game 7 would be a war. They didn't know the half of it. And I like some games you can't afford to lose.
Yeah, they had at least 50% success. Why did they do so many more?
Because they were on a heater.
Throw it at the wall, see if it sticks.
I got to get my guy Luke on here because he works for a company where...
Robitaille?
No, not Luke Robitaille.
Same note to Roy.
Yeah, same note to...
He comes up with taglines.
Oh, wow.
Or his company does. Maybe he doesn't do it specifically, but he works for a place that where they come up with taglines.
I like to believe whenever you have multiple taglines, particularly ones that are very close, like Terror Goes in Overtime versus Action Goes in Overtime. Mm-hmm. It was a huge argument between two people, and it almost turned into a fight, and then someone said, all right, fine, just fucking run both of them.
Fuck it, we'll put them both.
No, it's got to be like a focus group, and a line brawl has to happen.
God, I want to be in a focus group.
You don't have an attention span, so that wouldn't work out too well.
What are you talking about, an attention span?
What are you talking about? Y'all don't say that.
Y'all don't say that.
Sergeant Dad.
Don't yell on TV.
Don't yell on StreamYard. $35 million estimated budget. Gross just $20.3 million US, but I mean, worldwide,
dude,
$64.3 million.
We got a hit.
If you cast Jean-Claude Van Damme and have him roundhouse kick someone, the global audience is there for you every step of the way. They don't give a shit.
Especially if they're in a mascot uniform.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yo, this fucking mascot head.
Too soon.
Before we jump to this movie and you listen to the rest of this podcast, Sudden Death is a rental, but a worthy rental.
You would think it would be on Peacock since it's a Universal film, but you know, what do I know?
They don't know any better with Roy.
They don't know shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Sudden Death receives 50%, that's 50, on 36 reviews from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, but thank you, audience. 39% from the audience on over 25,000 ratings. I mean, take the positive or the negative reviews.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
You're a Stanley Cup half filled kind of guy.
Oh, there you go.
Give me the positives.
Hey, John, that's weird. That glass looks half full to me.
Wow. Now that you mention it, it is half full.
William Thomas of Empire Magazine. Tripe, but hard not to enjoy.
Tripe?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you mean trite?
No, it says tripe.
Tripe, like the food.
It was intestines.
Tripe smells like shit, so.
Wow.
David Nusser of Real Film Reviews. An especially blatant Die Hard knockoff. James Jennings of Film 4. Van Damme is at his butt-kicking best with Sudden Death, offering all the thrills, spills, and stuff blowing up that action fans relish.
Didn't James Jennings play for the Packers?
James Jones?
Ooh.
Greg Jennings?
I got, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, mixed up there.
Sorry.
Let's go inside the mind of a Greg Jennings. Dog, I gotta do this shit. I put a team in my fucking back, though. My leg broke. I don't know how the fuck I'm running right now, though. I'll do this shit for Madden. Oh, shit. Darren Sharper, one of the most hardest hitting safeties in the league. But I put the team on my back, dude. Fuck it. You can't stop me. Cross the plane. Touchdown, Greg Jennings.
Jeff Andrew of Time Out. Reuniting Hyams and Van Damme, director and star of Time Cop, this spectacular nail-biter exploits their combined, if limited, abilities to the full.
Spectacular nail-biter.
Sure is. Cuck O'Leary of Fantastica Daily.
Hey! Hello, right. Oprah.
He's back.
The best of the many diehard ripoffs made during the 1990s, Sudden Death is a thrilling roller coaster ride of hard-edged action.
What's another example of a diehard ripoff?
Die Hard 2? Yeah.
Say no two.
Con Air. Air Force One.
Con Air?
Con Air, huh? Wow.
Passenger 57.
Oh, these are all on planes.
Not Passenger 57 either.
No.
We say Bram Stoker's Dracula, what?
No, he said Skyscraper. Oh. Not even close to Bram.
Speed? The speed count?
Speed counts.
Well, it's everything.
No, Speed is a ripoff. It's a ripoff of Speed 2. Nothing.
The director of Speed was the director of photography in Die Hard.
Mm.
Under Siege?
Under Siege is a Die Hard ripoff. Yes.
Die Hard and a sub. Yeah.
Rob Thomas of Capital Times.
Stream and I'm lonely.
Gets a lot of mileage out of the well-worn, trapped in a blank, full of hostages action genre.
Sure.
Fred Topple of About.com.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fun diehard knockoff that uses the stadium for all it's worth. The mascot fight is a highlight.
Hey!
Gene Offmuth of Palo Alto Weekly.
How Offmuth does he come up?
A lady.
Oh!
A mildly satisfying high-energy romp complete with outstanding professional hockey footage and intense physical confrontations.
I'd love to romp in Gene's Offmuth.
Mike LaSalle of San Francisco Chronicle.
Mick.
Oh, well, maybe it's Michael.
No.
Kind of like Mick Foley.
It's not.
It's not at all?
No.
Sudden Death is one of the best action thrillers of 1995. It's also the film Jean-Claude Van Damme has been building up to for 10 years.
What does that mean?
Oh, man.
Eleanor Ringel Cater of Film Scouts.
Eleanor.
Eleanor Rigby.
The movie is state-of-the-art, over-the-top, non-stop Hollywood hokum, and that's meant as a compliment, too.
Sure it is.
And then blank user, 4.5 out of 5 stars. For my money, one of Van Damme's best for a number of reasons. One, a truly great mustache-twirling villain. Two, a confined arena of action with lots of peril in the vein of Die Hard. Three, a fast pace. Four, a wonderfully over-the-top memorable ending. It may look slightly TV movie-ish on occasion, but this is a great action movie with a decent script that I do like to return to from time to time. A lot of fun and strangely underappreciated.
Mustache trilling. Kind of like Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
I called it Tubi with a budget.
Not wrong. Negative reviews.
Stop being a pessimist. This tank is not half full. It's half empty.
Brian Orndorff of Blu-ray.com. Instead of scoring with a surefire premise, Sudden Death follows the title's direction, keeling over before game even begins.
Wow. Dead before the face-off.
Michael Dukina of themoviereport.com. Wooden as ever, Van Damme is no Bruce Willis. Unfunny main bad guy Powers Booth is no Alan Rickman. And uninspired director Peter Hyams is no John McTiernan.
We get it, Dakina. You like Die Hard.
Peter Travers of Rolling Stone.
Travers City.
Despite the elaborate stunts, go, go, go direction from Peter Hyams, plus butt kicking and surprise goalie action from Van Damme, Death deserves the hockey puck booby prize for getting its jollies by putting kids in jeopardy.
So we've done 220 episodes of Cinephobe, right?
Mm-hmm.
If at the beginning of this journey, you told me, I mean, within the span of about a month, you're going to have not one, but two movies where some mistaken identity person shows up on ice and no one's going to notice.
Sigourney!
Excited chittering does not begin to describe the sounds I made when I realized what it was.
You didn't know?
No.
Have you not seen this movie before?
I forgot it. I've seen it. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah. You saw it with your brother, huh?
Not with my brother.
Oh.
I think I saw it with some classmates.
Also, they're close enough together that they could have independently come to that idea.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why it was when they were released. Absolutely. Yeah.
Roger Ebert of Chicago Sun-Times.
Oh.
Perhaps the world does not require more than a dozen or so diehard clones, you tell me.
Roy was legitimately disappointed to find out that Roger Ebert didn't like this.
Et tu, Ebert?
Yeah, I was hoping. Maybe Gene Siskel's not on the negative list.
He's not. Steve Rhodes of Internet Reviews. I never realized how many ways there are to kill people in a kitchen.
Really?
Dog, we went through every single...
Every station in that kitchen.
Every single one.
It was like a hit course, right? Like a high-intensity interval, yeah.
Blank user, 1 out of 5. Van Damme makes good, bad movies. This is not one of them.
Oh.
Okay.
Blank user, 1 out of 5. Nearly died watching this shit.
Wait, what?
And then blank user, 0.5-star out of 5. I didn't see this.
I didn't see this.
But I did see one of his other movies. And since he uses the same plot for all of his movies, .. We'll get a Means first note.
Bullshit.
May's first note, Roy's first note, and my first note after these messages, unless you subscribe to patreon.com/countthedings, in which you get an ad-free episode right about now.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Amin, what is your first note?
FBI anti-piracy warning to start. Wow.
Oh, yeah, VHS.
I felt like I was transported to a different world.
Oh, man.
To a different time.
Oh, it was a great time. Maze, your first note?
We asked Roy to join. It seemed like he turned on the movie within 15 minutes and has probably watched it 3 times by now.
Yes.
You're goddamn right I did.
Roy, what's your first note?
The Universal Pictures logo around that time. It reminds me of movies such as Dark Man, Kindergarten Cop, Child's Play 2, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and The Little Rascals.
My first note. I love this movie. It's a file, and I'm not even sure it's a top 5 JCVD movie for me.
Wow.
Name them. CT5 JCVD movie.
Right now?
Yeah.
Bloodsport, Hard Target, Universal Soldier, Nowhere to Run, Cyborg.
Really?
Those are the 5 I enjoy more, yeah.
Cyborg, you could probably flip on that one.
You're telling me him starring as his own twin did not make the...
OLI along with this movie.
Ooh, okay.
Now, we'll see what happens when we do Lionheart. We'll see what happens when we do...
Petty Thief Chris Dubois.
The Quest.
We'll see what happens when we do Legionnaire, Street Fighter. A lot of competition.
I don't think you said Time Cop.
No. Yeah, I don't think you said Time Cop. If that's the case.
Yeah, that's a battle for the OLIs.
Wow.
I love Time Cop too. And I love this movie. Mm-hmm. We've got a 4-alarm fire being put out on a street in any town, USA. Lots of commotion, disembodied chatter. This couple hugging by the ambulance's ass on. We're following the firefighters into the building. JCVD is screaming. He found her. I need some help down here. I need it now. Get down here now. Come on.
His ass off yelling for help. I said, he's a firefighter? I thought he was a security guard in this movie.
Mm-mm. Firefighter, baby. He has this stupid bingo child, but he can't move and he needs help.
Yes. Bingo.
He's been screaming for 2 minutes. Not a single firefighter has come to his aid.
Mm-hmm.
Not a one.
Leads me to believe they hate him.
Somebody shut this kid up. The house is collapsing on top of them. They're spraying it down with the...
You hate children, man.
I gotta send.
You gotta pick.
I gotta look at this photograph. Fire it up, Maze.
Look at this photograph. Every time it makes me laugh.
they reveal this dead kid.
Oh, no.
Absolutely laughing my ass off.
Did we kill a kid in the opening scene?
We sure did.
He's cockeyed.
She's dead.
Or is it she?
JCVD also ass on trying to make his lips quiver.
Yeah.
He's trying to make something happen there. It's not working.
He was caught on a fire. Can we get a art scouting? Is she breathing? What's going on? Is her eyes quivering? What's happening with this dead child?
No, she's just cockeyed.
Oh. Really had to say cock again, huh?
Shaquille O'Neal over here.
Played dead as she's like, okay. That looks dead to me. Well, in day's work.
Cut to 2 years later, game day, 4 hours until face-off. Thank you.
Yeah, I bet you like that one, Zach.
I do. I would have loved a Pittsburgh PA, but fine. You know, they're going to make it obvious that it's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We get the ESPN Stanley Cup Finals production from the truck. I got a little emotional, I got to say.
Dude, I said ESPN product placement, and I didn't even see the logo. I just heard the music.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing with that, though. The director said, show me what God sees. And that just made me angry. Who the hell do you think you are? Show me what God sees, please. Rodney, please.
Agent Hallmark asks, how many technicians inside the arena? 12 cameramen, 6 support. That's 18. And he wants to limit their access.
Excellent exposition that the vice president is coming to the game. I didn't even vote for the guy.
Oh, incredible.
Lots of walk and talk exposition here by everyone, by Secret Service, by the workers waiting to come in, by this Dr. Phil looking motherfucker. I don't know who he is.
I've never been to Pittsburgh. I don't know a whole lot of people from Pittsburgh. The guy in line calls him Babe. Is that a Pittsburgh thing? Calling random people Babe?
Maze, please clip in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay, we're going to go in my little new beauty over there, okay, Babe?
Did you Babe me?
I Babed you.
Don't Babe me. Do not, under any circumstances, Babe me ever.
You think I feel good about it? It slipped out.
I'm trying to think of the last few vice presidents here. They got Al Gore,
Dick Cheney,
Mike Pence, Kamala Harris, and of course Biden. Not one of them, probably except for Biden because he's from Pennsylvania, would go to a Stanley Cup final game.
Yeah, they used to do this a lot in the movies where it's like, hey, we're going to pretend like it's President Thompson or whatever and the vice president or whatever. My bigger question was the vice president of America is coming to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That is wild inconvenient. Super inconvenient to everybody, dude.
Why?
It's Game 7. You've been in NBA Finals.
Yeah.
It's already crazy. And now say, oh yeah, we're going to have second in command. No, it's too much.
Wow. This person can't come enjoy a Game 7? No. The most hallowed two words is, wow.
You're not allowed to.
Must be Republican.
Mike Pence went to a regular season NFL game in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to go to a Game 7.
And he almost fucked everything up. You don't get to go to playoff games. Definitely can't go to the finals.
Wow.
It's out of bounds. Completely.
Well, they're not going to sit him inbounds.
I have been to Pittsburgh, and I actually think it's really interesting, the geography of it, because it's got these high cliffs overlooking the downtown area with the rivers going through.
It's got the three rivers.
It's a beautiful situation. You understand why they settled there for a city.
Yeah, but then they had this stupid accent.
Oh.
I cannot stand that Pennsylvania accent.
I can't wait for this fall when we're getting Steelers country. Let's weld.
Yeah, you're going to get on the train on that one. You can go to Pittsburgh.
Evan, everybody checking through one gate. Real pain in the butt. It's only one night. Last game of the Stanley Cup. Having the vice president here turns a headache into a concussion. I didn't even vote for this guy.
Republican.
Republicans listen to podcasts too, Roy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They buy merch from Count the Things as well.
Republicans buy a mean jump shot merch too, Roy.
They do. Yeah.
By the way, you don't vote for the vice president. You vote for the president. The vice president's just on the ticket.
I only vote for the vice president.
Oh, that's one way to do it.
That's why I didn't vote for Bush.
I'm stunned you vote.
Hey, rear end the security car. Sorry, but my dog's missing. We're out here looking for him. Is it bad?
Is he ass on or is it a bad American accent?
He's ass on for sure.
Yeah, he's ass on.
But also sports radio tactical redundancy exposition going on.
Is it Game 7?
It's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, yes.
Oh, the 7th game.
Something happening today?
These guys get out of the car with submachine guns. We're going to steal your car. Don't get killed over it, huh? This guy looks like if Michael Imperioli never got his life together.
Mm.
That's what this guy looks like.
He does the look away fake out pretends to walk away, turns back, opens fire, spraying with the silencer on.
None of the silencers in this movie work.
No.
I laughed my ass off at him turning around abruptly and shooting them anyway.
Yeah.
And I asked, is this plot liftoff?
No.
I have a lot of questions.
You could be right. I mean, as soon as this plot starts unfolding, we're on the runway for sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's boarded. Yeah.
People are on the plane now when Dorian Aylward came out and said, oh, the vice president's coming. And now people getting killed. We are taxiing.
They're taking the trucks. They get security badges for game 7. Cut to young Adam Banks playing hockey on the street.
This stupid kid.
His stepdad's giving play-by-play.
This stepdad is weird, man.
Oh, I got notes.
He's a diddler.
Oh, he's a diddler.
He's a diddler.
Oh,
absolutely.
Shit.
He does say, scratch my back with a hack.
For those who watched Le Batard Show when I filled in for Dan weeks and weeks and maybe even years ago, this is where I got the inspiration to call myself the stepdad. I was channeling this guy the whole time.
JCVD gets out of his Mustang and his fireman blues.
Oh, that made me happy. Thank you, Jean-Claude, for driving a Mustang. Thank you.
Stepdad trails off from his hacky play-by-play, and the kid goes, Dad!
Pop!
This an expensive stick?
Michael gave it to me.
Angry mom with a pixie cut shooting daggers from the doorway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hey, I mean.
Yes?
I mean.
Yes?
The bitch ex-wife?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
She hates that dude, man.
She hates that dude. She's doing her best to be as unlikable as possible, as the bitch ex-wife always does in these movies.
Okay, but
ass song for the kids. I actually identified the dude. I said stepdad energy for sure when he was playing. And then I said, I knew it as soon as Jean-Claude pulled up.
Yeah. Also, when he's trying to win over the stepson's affection by buying him expensive hockey sticks.
Yep.
Big stepdad energy.
Expensive stick.
They're about to leave. He flashes some tickets. She's like, it's his birthday. You got him all day tomorrow. She has a point. He just shows up. They're about to go to a birthday dinner.
Yeah.
Now, he does have the trump card of game 7.
The game's tonight, though.
Game 7!
But she didn't know. Like, come on. He just showed up.
Yeah, I wonder if he works as the fire marshal. He probably should have gotten those tickets a little earlier than 4 hours before puck drop, but whatever.
How do you know it's 4 hours?
They told us.
Oh, okay.
Also, I don't know if you know, but it might have been difficult to get tickets. The vice president's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you heard that, yeah.
I think the ex-wife and new husband made vows of exposition till death do them part.
They did, because in case you forgot about the vice president, stepdad says the VP is going
to
be there.
Is that a selling point for the children to go to the game? Oh, Mike Pence is going to be there. What?
Why is the husband telling the kids what their actual father is going to do at the game?
Great question.
Stepdad seems to like JCVD.
He does.
It's a reverse memo situation.
Yeah, he's afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Kid runs out in her brother's Penguins hat. She signs, I love you, to Jean-Claude.
That's my hat.
My hat.
And she does the Ruth Conda forever sign.
Ruth Conda
forever. Says she's practicing to be deaf, but that's still my hat.
My hat!
What? Practicing to be deaf?
What an asshole kid this is, man.
X says you can't just show up. This is where I noted Amin will call her the bitch ex-wife.
Yep.
Except I did it first.
Yeah, you did do it first, Roy. Yeah.
Congrats, Roy.
You're back to work, Dad? Your dad's a fire inspector at the game. Jesus Christ. Stepdad's position is in full force right now.
Stepdad dick sucking. It's important work. Daughter starts expositioning about the dead kid from the opening scene.
Oh my God.
Thanks for that.
Wow.
Ex-wife tells him, don't do it again. It's not fair to the kids. And JCVD promises.
I promise. She says, it's not fair for the kids or me. I said, bitch, who cares about you?
We cut to a warehouse.
I love a nefarious loading of vans.
Oh man, they are strapping up.
Yeah, they're getting ready.
Tables full of guns, bad sunglasses, men in suits getting fake badges.
Who the fuck is this fake Shanks from Hurricane Smith? This guy with the fucking dangling earring, horrible sunglasses, this fucking shirt.
This might need to be supercharged.
Uh-oh.
I said, please clarify. And that's my only note here.
Oh.
I just sent it to the chat.
Oh, you mean China?
Big Mommy Mars?
Oh, goddamn.
I like the toned down version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, you asked about bootleg Shanks. I said, this bingo is just going to keep his sunglasses on for the work ID picture that they're doing, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
The whole time, this dumbass just has his sunglasses on. That's the kind of henchman that you need to bolo.
100%. Yeah, that guy's got to be used as an example.
You need to kill that guy.
He's pretty valuable in this movie, though.
He looks like he should be making a Latin R&B album right now.
Oh, no, no. I got the wrong guy. I was talking about the guy from the opening scene.
Oh, fake Michael Imperioli?
Yeah.
All right. Powers Booth has a stuffed penguin souvenir, sets a kitchen timer, walks away. Everyone scurries away. The toy's kind of ass off right before it explodes. 2 hours until face-off.
He's in a penguin suit, too.
He is. Security shows us that the elevator requires a key. The chef is the only one who can allow anybody in that elevator, regardless of identification.
This is a ton of responsibility on the head chef.
What?
For a chef.
This isn't Vic Vegas.
He should probably be focused on, I don't know, cooking?
Yeah, the food's getting burnt today.
So the penguin dolls having explosives in them. Mm-hmm. There's one scene where one of them explodes and that's about it.
That's how they hid them.
Oh, that's how they hid them.
That's how they brought them in.
Also, did this happen in real life? Not the bomb part, but a shipment of Penguins merch got hijacked?
Yeah, a bunch of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. The truck got stolen a couple of weeks ago.
After he finishes serving the VP's party, the kitchen is closed. Everyone goes home. The chef will clean up. The fuck I will. Everyone can clean their own goddamn stations.
Yeah, grab a mop.
Have I made myself clear? Abundantly. That's how I like it. Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Louis Pinnock for the chef?
I couldn't tell. That's a good question.
I don't have a Louis Pinnock for this movie.
What?
I've got a couple.
Some old woman with dementia is gardening as a car pulls up. And it's Shanks.
Why does she have dementia?
Old people gardening always have dementia.
That's ageism.
Zach, my note, this old lady is ass off at looking disoriented.
See?
What? He's completely lost.
He flashes a gun and a pink pirate shirt that he's wearing.
So he's actually thrown off by his blouse.
Mm-hmm. Let's go in the house like I'm your favorite nephew. 90 minutes until face-off. We were really blowing through this pregame, man.
Yeah, I know.
Time moves fast, and then it moves real slow at certain points.
Diddling old man security guards being weird with Van Damme's daughter. She gives him a stamp on his hand.
Hold your horses. I'm getting stamped here.
But he's got a little bit of a speech impediment, so Maze, please clip in Bob Cousy saying thoroughbreds.
Wedge. No. Same note too, bro.
You got horses. What you need are thoroughbreds.
Can you imagine being media trying to get into game 7 and you have to wait in line because some little bingo is stamping Bob Cousy's brother's hand?
I think we're about one episode away from thoroughbreds going on the soundboard.
Thoroughbred.
Bad guys are in line with the Horizon badges. This old pedo just lets them in. Woman says hi to JCVD. He has her take his daughter to meet Icy, the mascot.
Maze, clip it. So I see, so I see.
Iceberg.
Icy, big deal. Some fat guy in a ratty penguin suit. This kid's a shithead, man.
Yeah, asshole.
Fuck this kid.
That blonde you're staring at? She's a fat guy. Film noir.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ass off here for this stupid kid looking back. Checks her out.
That confused me at first.
Combination
of Jean-Claude Van Damme's pronunciation and the structure of the phrase.
Nah.
She's the fat guy. What? Oh, she's the mascot. Got it.
It's not fat. It's fit.
Fit.
Fit. He takes his son into the Penguins locker room.
They're sharpening skates like Jan's diddling factory.
Yeah, coach.
Robitaille waves at the bingo Tyler, who can't believe it.
He waved at me.
Ass on.
Robitaille and Jean-Claude get to speak French together. Fantastique.
Ça va? Bonjour. Ce soir, quelles sont vos chances?
How are you going to do tonight? We're going to fuck them up.
Ass on for Luc Robitaille.
Ass off for JCVD's chuckle in reaction to that, though.
You guys know what would be ideal as we prep for the biggest game of our lives?
What's up?
If the part-time fire inspector brings his bingo kid into the locker room mm-hmm. and just has conversations.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, it's just any game, right?
No, Zach. It's the seventh game.
It's the seventh game
of the Stanley Cup Finals.
So the kid then sees Brad Tolliver. This isn't a real person, right? This isn't a real player.
No, no. This guy is not an actual goaltender. He was played by Jake Caulfield, who is a hockey player. He was not a goaltender. He was actually an enforcer.
Okay.
That's what the missing tooth implies.
In 7 NHL seasons, he had 714 penalty minutes. He's too big to be a goaltender.
Remember when I told you guys that Giselle Bundchen was ass off in Taxi when she spoke in Portuguese and ass on in English? Uh-huh. And then you guys tried to convince me that it was just because I don't speak Portuguese, mm-hmm. that she's hiding her ass onness behind a foreign language. Mm-hmm. I present to you, en français, Monsieur Robitaille, a.k.a. Cool Sur. That guy was ass on in French.
No, don't do that.
He's speaking French robotically.
Exactly.
How can you do that?
Because he's ass on, that's how.
This Brad Tolliver hates kids.
Oh, man.
I could tell by the picture I sent you.
Zach Tolliver.
Because he's an actual goon in real life, that's why.
I guess I'm a goon too.
Dad, he doesn't have a rocking chair.
A what?
My dad said you should be sitting in a rocking chair instead of on the ice.
Cobra formula.
Ass on for JCVD as he makes this face.
He did the old Rodney Dangerfield like, ooh.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do it makes me laugh.
All that was missing was him pulling his collar back.
Looks like he has Bell's palsy there.
Some important exposition that Jean-Claude Van Damme was a semi-pro. Ah, you said it. Goalie in Canada.
Same note too.
God, what weird exposition. I wonder if that'll come up later. Probably not. There's no reason why.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The goalie!
Brad says, come by some afternoon. I'll show you the difference between the game you played and the one I play. He smiles.
Or the game he actually played in real life.
Buddy, it's the end of the season. What do you mean come by some afternoon?
It's offseason. He's going to have a lot of time.
Yeah.
To beat Jean-Claude Van Damme's ass.
Hey, you know, instead of talking shit to the part-time fire inspector, maybe lock in on the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Especially when we find out he's had 104 fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems pretty normal for somebody who has a high temperature like that.
That dude doesn't look sick at all.
They added that in a rewrite.
104.
Dude, 104 is fucking insane.
104. I'm in a bathtub with ice.
104 is like throwing a 112 mile an hour fastball at the end of game one of the World Series.
The thermometer just says 4 with an asterisk.
It does. I can see the difference.
45 minutes till face off. Popcorn trucks unloading.
Too many updates.
Not enough is happening between the updates.
See Joan in her icy outfit. Tyler's bragging like a bingo.
Lots of Budweiser product placement, by the way, on these trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Truck.
Your friends are going to be so jealous of you.
Daughter wants to go with Icy. So does Tyler. Kid elbows him in the gut. Icy's got to go hit the stands. JCVD brings the kids to say hi to Andrew the chef.
You're distracting my man, the chef, who not only is in charge of cooking the vice president's meal, but clearing everybody that walks into the kitchen.
His idea of a fun game is I'm going to toss this cleaver in the air and watch where it hits on the cutting board.
This is not safe is my note. By the way, the kitchen's supposed to be in total lockdown and this motherfucker's giving tours.
Yeah.
Waltzing through changing light bulbs.
Yeah, but he's been cleared.
Oh, that's true.
His kids are embarrassed. Is that what daddy does? Change light bulbs?
No, Emily. He's just helping out. Firemen don't do that kind of stuff.
What kind of stuff? Diddling.
20 minutes until face-off. Here comes the VP's brigade. Nickname is Frequent Flyer. Everybody clapping as he walks through.
Frequent Flyer is his nickname. This asshole must take a shit ton of trips.
Yeah, he's got a lot of playoff games to go to.
Got like air miles.
Jimmy Goldstein of politics, man.
He's going to left and right.
Guy with the earring and the puffy shirt, aka Shanks, asks the demented lady if she has cookies.
Do you have any cookies?
You forced your way in here with a gun and now I have to feed you? You don't have to. But I still have the gun. She says she thinks she has some Fig Newtons product placement. He rushes over, grabs them for her.
Hup, caution. Caution will keep you safe.
She says, I keep my machine gun in the produce.
Banter.
Oh, Ricky Martin looking ass.
Back to the locker room. We've got Duckerman. Duckerman is butt-ass naked like the dude trying to fuck on his break in Roadhouse.
He is.
He's got a terrible sunburn. When he lifts his arm, you can see his pale underarms. Coach tells him to put a jock on. He puts it on his head. Duckerman.
At least you're covering the right head.
Banter.
Ass off for Duckerman.
Right next to Ulf Samuelson's locker.
Because he does it with like a straight face. He doesn't break at all. I was very impressed.
VP wants to address the Penguins. Few words.
Why is the Veep coming into the locker room pregame?
Because he's the Veep.
Because he's pandering.
It's the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
You're always campaigning, man.
We get a Doc Rivers press conference laugh.
Big time.
Are you Democrats or Republicans? We're Canadians. Banter.
Well, in that case, good luck. And I hope to toast your championship after the game.
You're going to say the same thing to the Hawks.
Of course.
Banter.
Nice outfit, Duckerman.
Shouts to Duckerman hanging dong in front of the vice president.
Have to.
Before the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Now that's a locker room.
National Hockey Night intro song.
Shanks is watching with Dementia Lady. It's time. I want you to pick up the phone and dial 555-1793.
She's married to the head chef
Oh.
who's placing shrimp in an ice bowl. Gardner reads the cue card like she's never read words before. Jeff is supposed to take two assistants and two security men into the vice president's box.
I took that as ass off because, like, she's an old lady and she's scared.
I took that as Shank's handwriting is atrocious.
No.
Yeah.
I swear if you hurt my wife, you'll what? Burn my toast?
Got his ass.
Click.
And then, I think we talked about this before, what we just don't get anymore, dial tone.
Old school.
Security asks Powers Booth and his goons, are they the chef's men? Yeah, they're mine.
Powers has an excellent smug head tilt.
Incredible smug face.
Mm-hmm.
We get a shot of the arena as the teams take the ice. VP and the people in the box cheers with enough champagne
to fill the Nile.
Blackhawks Penguins rematch at the 92 Stanley Cup Final.
I was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you were.
Here's to a great game. Great if we win, not if we lose. Doc Rivers press conference laughter.
2 minutes until face-off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nighttime in Pittsburgh. Shot of the dome from a distance.
Just fucking start the game.
Time to bring the vice president his enormous bowl of shrimp.
Chef's taking Powers up to the box. Everybody's told to leave the kitchen for the night. Anthem's going. The craziest mullet in the arena.
Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate because it's at a distance.
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking wig.
Yeah.
That's how textured it is.
And it looks like there's frosted tips to it.
For sure.
That's a South Park character.
That shit is nuts looking.
Puffy shirt puts his gun over his heart.
I laughed at the terrorist standing for the national anthem.
Film noir coming up in a second, but you know why they're standing up. Former Secret Service people.
Not former.
Current. Well, soon to be former.
We've got
to
take over while we hear the anthem. Popcorn guy shooting a worker. We got elevator goons shooting guards outside the box.
They waste so much ammo.
So much.
It's silenced.
You don't need 100 bullets to kill these people.
Mm-mm.
Two should be enough. Pop, pop. That's it.
Well, don't worry. Almost everybody that dies has a perfectly placed bullet right in the middle of their forehead. Mm-hmm. So despite all the spray and pray, they are incredibly accurate.
It's part of the training.
It is part of the training. Two in the chest, one in the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Two in the forehead, one in the chest. I don't know what it is.
Five in the ground, six in the wall.
Nine in the mini bar. Powers puts his hand over his heart.
Starts reaching for something in his pocket. Pink shirt loves this part of the anthem. He's got to go. Shoots the gardener.
Shoots some Secret Service guy and take everybody else hostage.
They did this really quick.
Announcer says the arena's going crazy. You couldn't beg, borrow, or steal a ticket. If you were packing heat, you couldn't get in here.
Get it? Because people did get in packing heat.
I started with the announcers are surprisingly not ass on. Announcers might win my ass off. He fucking killed it, bro.
They're both the actual Penguins play-by-play announcers, at least back then.
Oh.
Yo, Mike Lang is a legend in Pittsburgh.
You have to tell me.
That's why the stepdad was quoting his catchphrase when young Bingo Tyler was practicing in the slanted driveway.
Exactly.
Roy, I'll say this. Hundreds of years of Cinephobe has taught me that sometimes you get people who play themselves and do a horrible job of it, like Zach who?
Dan Marino.
This hacky piece of shit Bob Costas, who is one of the worst ever, one of the most overrated ever, and he's awful in the scout. The 91st World Series. Shut the fuck up, Bob Costas. God, I'm sick of him. Fucking pink eye.
Sick of him. Look at him walking around, flapping his you-know-what.
Talking to you-know-who.
We know how you got it, by the way, at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Eating ass.
Mm-hmm.
Nice roundy.
Where were those Olympics? Enough said.
That's why they use condoms. I mean, prophylactics.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
If you drop that later on this evening, I've got a great girl. She does it without a condom. It's filthy. You'll love it.
Goalie matchup. Grant Belfour against Brad Tolliver. Even though he could barely walk today, much less skate.
Oh, exposition.
Ed Belfour, not Grant Belfour.
Oh, did he have a brother who played?
I have a brother.
Grant Belfour was a pitcher, maybe, for the Rays.
Hmm.
Yes, and the A's. Rays and A's.
There you go.
That's where we get the exposition. Of a fever of 104.
Get out of here, man.
Be in the hospital.
It's better to be on the ice at that point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you need to be naked because it is 104 degree fever. You gotta be.
Like Duckerman?
Like Duckerman.
Like Universal Soldier.
Yeah.
Cool down.
Cool down. Secret Service bleeding from his neck. Please, he needs a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Bowers walks up, shoots him in the head.
So good.
Not anymore. Banter?
No, that's tough guy talk, man.
That's TGT?
Well, no, because then he says, go ahead. Dead heroes get the best funerals. That's TGT right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Shot another guy in the nuts. And then he shoots the chef. And I'm like, why'd you shoot the chef?
Thanks, chef.
Didn't need him anymore.
His wife's recently deceased. He would have been lonely without her.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
You take the whole murder aspect out of it, that's pretty thoughtful.
He cared about him.
I hope that clarifies the urgency of this mission. Only your best behavior is going to be good enough.
That agent's name was Eddie Kaline. He has a 5-year-old boy, a 3-year-old little girl, and his wife's pregnant.
I'll send a card.
What do you want?
What do I want? World peace, an end of bigotry, and no more mini malls.
Powers, I tried. You know, they wouldn't let me end racism. I tried to end racism, they wouldn't let me.
And no more mini malls.
I'm done with mini malls, too.
That's the toughest tax, though.
What am I gonna get? And I am gonna get it. That, boys and girls, is really hot.
What is your objective?
My objective? I get funny all over when you talk like that. I know just what you're thinking. Evaluate the situation, calculate potential losses, and take appropriate action. Let me do that for you. The situation is hopeless. Losses would be unacceptable. So the appropriate action is for you to do nothing and keep your fucking mouth shut.
What kind of lunatic are you?
The best kind. And you can keep calling me names if it makes you feel better.
Knock at the door, tell Secret Service to lower their earpiece and mic. This guy, bald Michael Gaston, comes in with a soul patch, earring, chewing gum, winks at the vice president, and smirks.
Is this Carl Pilkington? I call him Carl Pilkington the rest of the notes.
This guy's going to be working for Travolta's crew in Swordfish in no time.
Oh, easily.
If it was Carl Pilkington, he'll be Louis Pinnock for having that regular accent. Yeah.
We get more hockey action. JCVD says, watch Loman. His eyes in the back of his head. He then promptly gets hammered into the boards. They must be closed. Banter.
Has some work to do.
He left those kids by themselves, man.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What are they? 9-7?
Like De Niro and the fan. Yes. Left his kid.
Hold on. I got to do something real quick. He fucking left the stadium.
He drove in San Francisco.
Go to a fucking meeting. It wasn't down the street. This motherfucker's on the freeway.
Mm-mm-mm.
God, I love that movie. The bingo daughter. I'll keep you company.
Oh.
He declines.
Oh, come on. She was cute, man. Come on.
No, she's an idiot.
No.
Oh.
She stamps him so he won't be by himself. That's not how that works.
He gives him money for soda.
Soda.
But don't get out of their seats.
Sees that his son brought a water gun. I said, how do you get that? Ah, pre-9/11.
Bingo brought a super soaker to the game.
He went through the media section.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Good point. That old diddler was too focused on his sister to even check him.
Emily does the Ruth Conda forever. Wonders what he's going to do. Dad's not really a fireman anymore, Emily.
This little shit.
Bitch, 15 minutes ago, you were like, he's a fireman. They don't do that. What changed?
No, you can't do the realization. It's over.
Pittsburgh scores.
1-0.
Clip this, announcer.
Oh, get the fast lane, Grandma. The bingo game is ready to roll.
Mike Lang.
They're playing Gary Glitter. Everyone's chanting along.
Can't do that anymore, by the way.
We've got furious cuts of briefcase computers being open. Gaston has a bunch of small TV monitors set up. Long hair henchman lights Power's cigarette because we can't have him using his lighter just yet. He starts tough guy talking the vice president. You know, I voted for you. Once again, don't vote for the vice president, except for Zach.
I do.
It's your sincerity and your compassion.
Maybe he meant the primary.
He also says, will you make that cow stop mooing?
Clip it, Maze.
What am I looking for? A cow in the zoo? Can you take a picture of him? Moo!
Powers tosses an envelope to the VP. What's that? An invitation to the White House. Open it and read it out loud.
It's nothing but a bunch of numbers. And they wonder why the economy is so fucked up. Banter! I was like, okay.
Bunch of bank accounts from different countries. The country is frozen. $1.7
billion. $1.7
billion
in today's money. $3.5 billion and change.
We were in a surplus back then.
Oh my God.
Clinton.
This is right before, because it happened towards the end of Clinton's first term. Remember the beginning of his first term? He's coming off of the recession.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite there, but then towards the end, it starts to pick up speed.
Is this before or after he was on Arsenio?
This was after.
After Arsenio.
That was the peak.
That was campaign trail for that one.
Mm-hmm.
This is right after Bush lied about there being no new taxes.
I miss Ross Perot for some reason.
It's the ears.
Oh my God, those ears. You think he can hear me?
Powers wants at least a third of the money moved in each period, threatens to keep killing people every period. You have no idea the complexity. I had an idea. I had this idea. And we are going to make it work or we're going to die trying. Get rich or die trying.
Yeah. You're going to call the president on flash president's priority.
He will call the Secretary of State and the Secretary of the Treasury. Then banks will be notified the money will begin to move, or it won't. And if it doesn't, when the game ends, everybody in this box and in this arena will die by explosion, fire, and panic.
This is plot liftoff.
Yes.
They've revealed.
This is plot liftoff. Yes. Enough bombs have been planted in this building to stop all the clocks in the hemisphere. Please clip in.
All of a sudden, that's my fault.
I get 1 minute to take a shower.
1 minute.
1 minute.
Oh, Jesus.
That's it.
1 minute.
That's
God you're not in charge of keeping all the clocks in Chicago on time.
You
this
are,
is basic logic.
You are out
Let
of
me
your
explain
mind.
This to you,
you
in plain
it.
Chapter.
Yeah. Cheese and rice, you guys are gonna kill each other. Now let's just
save that too, bro.
You'll die with us. Could be. It could be.
The woman tries to go Sherlock Holmes on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a man with manicured fingernails and a $10,000 wristwatch plans on blowing himself up.
$15,000 wristwatch.
Bitch.
What? What? The man with the $25,000 wristwatch is going to blow himself up?
Come on.
Come on.
On a Secret Service agent's salary? Oh, boy. $15,000?
Well, he probably stole it.
His extracurriculars might have paid for that one.
Ah. Yeah, maybe.
But he tells the woman he's not sure if he likes her. But when he makes up his mind, she'll be the first to know. You're out of your mind.
He mocks the owner for paying a Neanderthal $40 million to skate up and down a slab of ice.
Back then.
No.
Roy, I know that the number's wrong, but what was the biggest hockey contract around then?
I don't know how big it was, but it certainly wasn't $40 million, even for the length of a contract.
The whole team probably is less than $40
million. Yeah, exactly. Gretzky probably would have been making that money. And this was before he went to St. Louis, so yeah.
Gretzky was on a 10-year, $3 million deal from 79 to 88.
Yeah, see?
He was making $3 million a year. From 90 to 94, then that jumped up to 6.5 mil later in his career. Career earnings of 46 million.
Robitaille, how much did Robitaille make?
Robitaille lifetime earnings 35.5 million.
Damn.
But how much from this movie?
Probably 40.
He tells the VP, call the White House and read the number. Hallmark tells officials they don't need the feds. They'll get the vice president out. Total media blackout on this. Place is sealed off. Says we've messed up a few times since I've been an agent. How the fuck did we lose the vice president?
He's not on the phone with anyone. Because you can't be on the phone with someone and saying, yeah, sir, I know exactly what's going on. Well, these pauses for the other person's questions.
Didn't make any sense.
Are like a millisecond. Second of all, we've messed up a few times since I've been an agent, but how the fuck did we lose a vice president? This is the exposition I really needed.
How did you fuck up? Yeah.
He's a slapdick.
Were you there for Reagan? What happened? Like, I need to know. You know who's great at the appropriate amount of pause time and everything when it comes to a fake phone call? Me. Me in an Uber.
Steven Seagal over here.
No one better.
Finally, Steven Seagal emerges from one of the other anterooms in the mobile home. And he comes out and he said, I just read the greatest script I've ever read in my life. He goes, really? Who wrote it? I did.
Cops surrounding the arena now, blocking off all the streets. Very diehard type montage here of all the troops and all the feds getting ready.
But crosscut with hockey.
All you need is Reginald Vail Johnson.
This announcer will not stop Bob Costasing how loud this building is.
Oh.
So loud he can't hear himself think.
You don't need to think, Mike. It's hockey.
Less thinking equals talent takeover.
There it is.
Blackhawks even it up right before the end of the first period.
Dirk Graham.
But guess what? Not a dime has been moved.
I believe that was Dirk Graham that scored that goal.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Yeah. First black captain in NHL history. First black head coach in NHL history.
Legend.
Learn something, Zach.
Yeah, learn something.
Talk about.
Dun, 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 dun.
I know Graham. What'd you say?
Nope.
Dirk.
D-I-R-K Graham.
Yeah, Dirk Graham. I call him Graham.
A black man named Dirk. That's a new one.
Real film noir.
You don't make too many black Dirks.
Well, he's biracial, so yeah.
Film beige.
Literally.
Powers is disappointed. They're going to sacrifice a life to test his will. Nobody does anything these days because it's right. They only do it if you make them.
Mm.
We'd like to vote on who gets the distinction of demonstrating my resolve.
Would you all agree that the mayor's wife has been the most annoying?
This is a good system, by the way. Whoever's been the most annoying dies first.
Yeah.
That mooing cow.
More hockey.
Cut to the kid ordering a drink. Sprite. No, Coke.
Coke or Pepsi.
Tyler mocks her. Shut up. Squirts her.
You're lucky daddy's not here. Why, is there a light bulb that needs changing?
You take that back. Daddy's a fireman.
Huh? He's too scared to be a fireman.
He is not.
Is too.
I hate you.
this little shit. I got your ass tickets to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals.
On your birthday.
And you're going to talk behind my back, no less. Mm-hmm. You little bitch ass motherfucker.
He's ripping his dad. She gets up and runs off. He's like, Dad said to stay here. Oh, now you respect your dad?
Yeah, not so tough anymore.
You little shit.
Quick reversal there.
You know why?
Because he's a bitch.
He's a bitch and JCVD beats his ass. Oh. That's why he talks shit behind his back.
Oh, wow.
But he ain't going to move from that seat. You know why? Because he knows when I do.
That belt's coming off.
Yep.
Icy's getting ready in the bathroom. Wait a second. I don't think that's Icy, guys. Uh-oh.
The other lady wonders if Joan is okay. First period runs out. Power shoots the mayor's wife.
Great filmmaking, showing us the clock running down, and then boom, mm-hmm. shoots her in the shoulder, but she dies anyway, which...
Yeah. I shot her in the heart.
Well, I guess.
But you're too late.
A little high for the heart, but you know.
Daughter goes to the bathroom, sees Icy, then the dead worker falls out of the bathroom stall. You're not a good killer.
No.
You're not good at covering this up.
It was a bad plan.
So bad.
You can't crawl from under the actual stall door because you're wearing a mascot uniform. It's too big, so you can't lock the door.
That's true.
By the way, do they actually know the actual name of the mascot? The mascot is Iceberg and not Icy.
Friends call him Icy.
So Icy. This bingo child just stands there, doesn't move.
Just stands there. Get the hell out of there. Run away.
What are you doing? What are you unbelievable.
Are you unbelievable, man?
Watch the body get dragged back into the stall. Icy's about to ice this kid. Then a bunch of women walk in and the kid runs out. But not to anywhere, mm-hmm. because quickly Icy grabs her on the concourse and says, say anything and I'll kill your mother. Remember that time I had the hugest Zamboner? No, we don't want to do that? Reminiscent? No? Clip it.
Man, it's all about the memories, man.
Jean-Claude comes back to the seats. Emily's gone. Bingo Tyler says she went to the bathroom. What did you do?
What did you do?
You soaked her. Woo!
I threw a big old all caps open there.
If the building is falling down around you, you don't move. Huh? I did not understand. I legit, I was like, what?
Well, he follows this direction.
To a T.
Very well.
I think a means theory is 100% correct. I hadn't thought of that, but he definitely beats his kid's ass.
Beat that kid's ass, man.
Definitely.
The son, at least.
There is a terrorist attack and explosions, and this little bitch is not going to get up and run out.
All this because a kid died when he was an actual firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a child abuser.
That's how he deals with his trauma.
I mean, my God.
JCVD goes to find her. He sees down the concourse that Icy is dragging her away in a hurry.
Kidnapping month is back.
Mm-hmm. Icy's kind of ass off here.
Cut to Powers sniffing a glass of wine. It's a young wine. Frisky. It's almost impetuous, wouldn't you say?
Woo! Yeah.
Pinot Noir.
I can't think of any punishment as severe as the one you deserve. They didn't listen to me and someone died. Call the president. Tell him how much fun we're having. Icy leads the girl into the kitchen, tries to go up the special elevator.
He can't catch up to a mascot and a bingo child bumbling around.
So this guy is standing guard at the elevator when our guy outside, Hallmark, knows that the vice president has been taken.
Mm-hmm.
But this Secret Service guy is still doing his job protecting the bad guy's elevator?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think it would be locked down. The timeline got fucked up here.
He just says that they've lost contact with the vice president.
Yeah, so you would think that maybe this guy would be more on alert instead of going about his job as usual.
No, he's got to guard the elevator. Otherwise, everyone's going to go up the elevator.
Right. I'm starting to think that these earpieces don't connect to shit. They're just listening to their Spotify playlist.
Maybe.
He took the earpieces from the guys and stomped on them, right? That's what happened.
That's true, yeah.
And this guy has the keys to the elevator, which he dumbly put it in the actual keyhole and turned it into his demise.
Owner just called me. I'm Icy, the team mascot. We're here to see the vice president. This is the owner's niece. He's calling for clearance on Mr. Icy. Mr. Icy's a woman, jerk off, shoots him in the head. We've got a woman, Icy.
No blood splatter.
Not once.
Zero.
But a bullet hole.
Bullseye right in the middle of the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Drags Emily on the elevator with the cadaver. Jean-Claude is too late. Icy double taps the guy in the elevator, tells Emily, you owe me a Mother's Day card.
How much has she been shooting where she's out of bullets?
They shoot this dude in the head in the box. And then like a second later, he's still moaning. And I said,
Art,
who is this, Mustafa?
You shot me.
Okay, moving on.
You shot me right in the arm. Why did...
She brings the kid into the box. What is this, a daycare center? She saw me off a guy.
Powers wonders who she is, who she's with.
Oh, don't worry. She'll give it all up.
Who are you here with?
My daddy. Huh? And he's a boss. And he's very brave. And he's not afraid. And he's going to come looking for me and he'll be sorry.
Oh, I'm already sorry.
He's a boss. He owns his own business, and I'm going to throw him a party during the pandemic, even though it's against the rules, because I like to celebrate that my dad is a boss.
Wait a second. I mean, I think you're confusing this kid with James Harden.
Oh, sorry.
Happens a lot, but yeah, you confuse a kid with James Harden.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean he's a boss?
He's a head fireman, and he makes sure everybody's safe here and there's no fires.
Who is this boss?
He must be a fire marshal. When we have special events
here. Yeah. Go downstairs and see if there's a nervous father looking for his daughter.
This kid won't shut the fuck up.
Giving exposition up left and right. She gives their full government name.
Yeah, I mean, if you were threatened with, you know, spiders being filled in your mouth. Yeah, you know.
Oh. Courage under fire.
Darren Francis Thomas McCord. Francis!
Used to have a girlfriend named Francis. She had blue eyes, just like you.
How does he know my name?
Thank you. Let's find out who he is.
I laughed at that, man. That was funny.
JCVD's trying to pry open a stairwell door with a knife?
Mm-hmm. Butter knife.
A butter knife?
That was not a butter knife.
It's massive, but it's like rounded and...
It was a kitchen knife.
I've never seen a knife like that in any professional kitchen.
Mm-mm. And you frequent professional kitchens often, Roy?
I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta go to the bathroom and sometimes...
Yeah, and on the way to the bathroom, you check out all the knives. That's what everybody does.
Yeah.
If you're Buca de Beppo, you walk through that bitch all the time.
They have never had a knife like that at any Buca de Beppo.
And any Boca de Vista.
Buca de Boca.
Elevator door opens. Icy's there. This Icy mascot head is ass off, man. This is like the dolphin in fucking Blue Chips, man. I am all in on this mascot.
That is the actual mascot.
John, I was trying to catch up with you and M&E.
I'm Carla. Joan had to go home sick.
But you were with my daughter, M&E.
Carla's voice. You know, Amin did ask a pretty good question earlier.
Please clarify. That was my question.
Yeah. Yeah.
He sees the penguin's hat that Emily had on the ground. When he goes to pick it up, he sees the reflection of the gun and the stainless steel.
But no blood splatter.
Kicks Icy in the chest. Elevator key falls down the shaft. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Gun goes flying.
He tries to cut Icy. Icy kicks his ass.
This is a great fight.
This is why everything turned to foul for everybody watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Foul.
This fight scene is a golden dumpster.
It's one of the best fight scenes we've had.
It starts with almost exclusively just kicks. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
Kickboxing.
There's a long time before they actually throw a punch.
I think the first punch was Jean-Claude Van Damme trying to punch the penguin there to no effect.
Absolutely. But then she rocks him and he starts falling back like Joe Gatto. Icy tries to push his face into the meat slicer.
Uh-huh.
A glove gets knocked off. Icy throws him on the table, runs him off of it. That's a 20 CV move, right?
I love that move.
Same note too.
It happened in the Dukes of Hazzard on the bar.
Usually it's in the bar, but sometimes mm-hmm. it's in the kitchen.
He almost comes face to face with a sizzling grill because the head chef left the grill on when he went up to the box.
When he shut everything down.
That would get you fired.
Not only that, but also the fryer.
Mm-hmm.
That's been deep frying for a good half hour at this point. Minimum.
Those fries are crispy.
Yeah, it should be burnt.
Cleaver at him.
I've never seen not one single firefighter fight like this, by the way.
Fight? But fight like this? How about fight?
Oh, just fight.
Firefighter with all this hand-to-hand combat and roundhouse kicks?
Well, Roy, what do you think he's been doing for the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Since he lost his job?
Fire inspector, that's why.
No, that's new. He just got the fire inspector job because they were like, you're working?
He's been in Krav Maga classes.
Yeah. He's been depressed and fighting.
All this to change the light bulb?
Yep. He puts her hand in the fryer as she tries to push his head in there, burns the shit out of it.
Lifts the head into the exhaust fan. It cuts part of the mascot eye off.
Mm-hmm.
They've used every single part of this goddamn kitchen.
File.
Like killing a buffalo.
The slicer. The grill.
The dicer.
The fryer.
The julienne.
Then he gets pepper and he peppers her eyes.
Red pepper flakes
mm-hmm.
in the eyes.
Potent.
Oh, that had to sting, yeah.
Icy comes at him with a meat mallet. He grabs the pipe overhead, swinging kicks, Icy back, lands on a dishwashing machine, gets choked.
The commercial dishwasher. Yeah.
Slowly drags her.
Gets choked, gets steamed.
Gets roasted open-faced like a Quiznos sub on a conveyor belt.
That whole scene, golden dumpster.
And for me, this is when you gotta clear the runways. Everybody hold on to your butts.
This?
We got plot lift up.
Four, three, two, one.
Because Jean-Claude is in now.
Oh, my goodness.
He's on to the scent.
Oh, man. That plane is taking off late.
Yeah, that's... But I'll get there before you.
The flight's been delayed.
Flight delayed, yeah.
But I'll land first.